Tonight on Coast to Coast, Nancy Duterte is with us, back with us, author of How to Talk to an Alien, Psychic Intuition. We're going to talk about all of that and also something called TSP. What is that? I'll stick around and find out when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. We've got Nancy Duterte back with us. Nancy, known as the Skeptical Psychic, is an attorney specializing in securities litigation and is a well-known trained psychic detective, spiritual medium, remote viewer. She works with law enforcement and victims' families to help find missing persons, as well as doing private readings for an international clientele list. Nancy teaches her own very radically different brand of remote viewing or psychic spying called TSP in her worldwide online classes. She was last with me over a year ago. Nancy, welcome back and happy holidays to you.
Thank you, George. Happy holidays to you, too. Appreciate it.
I'm looking forward to this. How have you been? How'd the year go for you?
Oh, my goodness. It's been a really interesting year. I decided to try and be a politician this year.
How'd that go?
It did not go.
Uh-huh.
No, actually, I came in by the final tally in my town here. I think I was off by 60 votes.
Jeez, that's close.
So,
what was your office?
It is what it is, and I don't know. We live in an exceptionally crazy world right now.
We sure do. What was the office you were running for?
Just the local office. I've been sitting in my local government on various boards and things for a while, but this was to sit on the legislative body. It's just a council here.
60 people. That would have done it.
That would have done it, but listen, I got blamed for example, as I was going door-to-door doing my my canvassing, I got blamed for the immigrant invasion. I got blamed for, let's see, climate change. The stuff that people come up with is completely crazy, and everybody's got really... everybody's gotten really opinionated because everybody's really frightened,
and so everybody's uptight
listening.
These days. I mean, did you find that debate right now has gone out the window?
It's totally out the window because nobody, and I've said this so many times, people have lost the art of what's called active listening. If you listen with the intention of actually understanding somebody else's point of view and actually respecting them as a human being and knowing they must have some reason for saying what they're saying. If you don't have that ability, you just want to hear yourself talk. There's no point in talking.
And
then
you
can't get any type of a negotiated settlement on anything.
And it's possible, Nancy. It's very possible they could be right. And you're wrong as a person.
Totally.
Yeah.
Right. And it takes a really strong person to be able to say, maybe I could be wrong. It's possible.
Exactly. Anyway, let's talk about psychic things and ESP and remote viewing and intuition. And are you still a practicing attorney?
I am still a practicing attorney, although I don't do it very much. I've sort of slowed that piece, and I've moved on to, more of this kind of work I've been doing. But, yeah, I mean, I'm still in good standing. I'm still licensed in New York and New Jersey.
What came first, the law or the psychic ability?
Oh, law, of course. I was never psychic. Are you kidding? I'm just trained into this. I'm just a trained person.
So you started late then.
I started very late because I'd run a bunch of businesses. I'd been an attorney in New York for a while, and I didn't believe in any of this stuff.
What was it that got you to start listening and start doing this?
I actually wanted to help because I'm also trained in intuitive gestalt psychotherapy, and I wanted to help my mentor in that field write a book that he was going to describe this new school of psychotherapy, which was I thought was really cool. And I tried to help him. He got really busy. He didn't do it. And I thought, well, okay, I guess I'm going to have to do it. So I thought I was going to be investigating intuition from a scientific point of view.
Yeah.
And nobody was interested because I studied, psychiatry and then neuroscience, a bunch of things. They didn't want to do it. It was too subjective. So that's how I got hooked into talking to psychics and mediums and intuitives and all kinds of people, anybody who knew anything about intuition. And then I trained into it, figuring I have to do this to talk about it. So it just evolved, and now I'm certainly right in the middle of it.
Nancy, would you say intuition is based in the brain or outside of it?
Huh. Okay, so in my book, Psychic Intuition, I talk about that towards the very end because it's sort of more of a radical theory, but my theory is that the imagination, what we call the imagination, is not this little private, mental playground that we have that we think nobody else knows about. But it's actually kind of available. It's a sensory organ, and what it's doing is it's translating mostly vibrational data that's reaching our body, but we don't have a specialized sensory organ to translate it to the brain. So it's getting to us, what we call the imagination puts it into a format, usually a sensory format, like a visual image or a sound or a smell or something, that we're going to say, oh, yeah, that's sort of what that means. And we get it that way. So I think our imagination is the part on the inside of us that translates what's on the outside of us.
Nancy, what do you call that thing that we call a hunch? What is that, in your opinion?
The hunch... The gut feeling or the any of that stuff. I mean, we have more neurotransmitters in our gut than we do in our brain. So our gut is actually thinking and feeling. So that's another way that we're getting. It's our body telling us, you've got information here. Do something with it. And in the way that I look at it, it's sort of in the middle of what I call the sliding scale of intuition, where you have educated guesses, which is like the real conservative, more like left brain stuff on one end. You've got gut feelings, hunches, butterflies in the stomach, any of those sort of quasi-emotional feelings that you don't really know where they come from. That's in the middle. And then on the far end, the kind of the least conservative end, you've got all your psychic information. You have no clue where it's coming from. That's like clairsentience or clear intuition, any of
that little voice we all hear in our heads.
Oh yeah,
who that tries to push us in a certain direction, whether we take it or not, that's another thing. But what is that little voice? Is that coming from within us? Is that outside somewhere? Is it some angel? Who's doing this? What's happening?
I looked at the studies of a whole bunch of, and they're pretty rare too. Studies of how schizophrenics experience voices in their heads. And it turns out they usually come on certain sides of their head, like left, right side, back, front, something like that. Usually those voices are somebody that they know, or it's a consistent voice, not a bunch of voices, although that depends. And they're usually telling schizophrenics more derogatory things than good things. So I began to figure out how to distinguish between, like, a voice in your head versus a schizophrenic voice.
Interesting take.
A voice in your head, they think, is a possible, it's almost like a bleed-through of two areas of the brain, the Broca's and the Wernicke sections of the brain in the temporal lobe. And one does language comprehension, and the other one does language speech. So sometimes you may be hearing your thought.
That thought, though, is it emanating from within? Let's say that thought of, Nancy, don't do this. It's not going to work for you. And then you decide what you're going to do. Is that part of our brain that gives us the ability to reason and think? I sometimes think there's something on the outside feeding us this information.
Listen, you don't have to push me too far. I've been woken up in the middle of the night by the alien voice that interrupted all of my phone calls to my daughter for a year and a half.
Jeez.
After we had a massive UFO sighting. So, yeah, of course. You've got that. you've got, I'm sure you must have had the experience of, you know, maybe in the middle of the night or maybe when you're least expecting it, you hear your name being called. You ever had that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or
a lot
what
of
I
people
also
have.
hear in the middle of this is weird. I will sometimes wake up in the morning to a doorbell ringing, and there is no doorbell ringing, and there is nobody there, and there wasn't anybody there, but I distinctly heard a doorbell ringing.
Me too. Totally get it.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you sometimes wonder, is there something going on in my brain? I mean, is there a malfunction somewhere or some kind of tumor? It's a weird feeling.
No. I mean, there could be, but I don't think so. I think it's actually it's pretty normal. I mean, everybody has a narrative going on in their heads. You know,
when we take calls next hour, let's see how many people have that doorbell thing happen.
Yeah, okay.
Because that could be strange. Now, you've been training as a remote viewer in addition to your work as an intuitive. Ben, you call your work TSP. So tell us about that.
I've been working on that for many, many years. And TSP, it's stands for tested ESP, so it's not a perfect acronym. But basically it's tested because in the process, the protocols that I use, you're getting continuous feedback from your client. And the reason I developed that was because I got really a little bit frustrated with some of the regular types of remote viewing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure, I mean, your listeners probably know about most of them. But you have controlled remote viewing, which was developed in 1973 by Ingo Swann and put off in Targ, the physicists at SRI.
Right.
And they put together protocols. Basically, it's what I call clairvoyance with protocols. And it's the, SRI defined it as the acquisition and description by mental means of information blocked from ordinary perception by distance, shielding, or time. Okay, so it's basically just clairvoyance, but they're giving you a system for doing it. You've also got ARV, associative remote viewing, which is like a binary choice future prediction type of viewing. You've got ERV, extended remote viewing, which is sort of this relaxed version of, you know, lie in a darkened room, try and tune into your target, and then somehow record whatever you're coming up with later. But most people, in the 50 years or so that, you know, since 73, I mean, yeah, there have been a few variations. Everybody says, oh, yeah, they have a brand new type of remote viewing, but when I'm looking at them, they're kind of all the same system. They might change the terms. They might switch around a few of the protocols. You do this here instead of here, whatever, but it's all kind of the same thing. So I got really frustrated with that, and I got frustrated, and I thought it's time to push the envelope. You know, let's push it further than where it's been and to solve some of the issues I had, which for anybody who is a little bit intuitive, if you're doing something like with the CRV, controlled remote viewing protocols, it makes you got to stop and think. You have to draw your ideogram. You got to divide it up, and then you have to do, you know, A, B, C, D gestalts and define them, and then you have to in the next section, you know, write your descriptors. I mean, it gets very mentally heavy, and you just say, well, wait a second, can't I just get there faster? And if I get there faster, I'll give you more information. So that was, you know, sort of what pushed me into developing this. And I've been doing this in all of my private readings for a long time now.
Give us, Nancy, the major difference between this TSP and traditional remote viewing.
Say that again?
What's the main difference between the TSP and traditional remote viewing?
Okay, so there are a bunch of them. Big difference is your target, okay?
Okay.
In CRV, for example, I mean, your target is usually a location or an event or a person, and you're supposed to somehow get yourself there and sort of describe it. And by, you know, whatever means you're doing that.
Right.
In TSP, your target can be, it's much, much more complex. It can be an attitude, an experience, an ongoing situation. It can be an element of a person. And the reason why it can be so much more complex is because you get a front load. And as I've learned from, you know, a bunch of people in the remote viewing business who've been doing, you know, CRV mostly, and mm-hmm. now a lot of ARV, but they don't like the idea of being, you know, you're supposed to be blind, 100% blind to your target, which is why you only get a pair of numbers or coordinates.
Right.
If you're lucky, you might get a tiny bit of a front load, like the target is a location. Describe the target. And that's considered your front load. But usually you don't get much, and so you're going in 100% blind, and that's great in the sense it accomplishes two things. It means you're not allowed to think, because once you start thinking, you screw it up
when you start thinking, don't you?
You totally screw it up. Or if you start feeling, if you have a desire, if you wish fulfillment, or you'd like to help somebody, any of that stuff, that also screws it up. So if you're blind, that helps. The other thing is, if you're blind, you can't really, that's the primary reason. So CRV viewers get really upset if you say, well, there's going to be a bigger front load. And I only recently discovered that after talking to some of them.
Well, and it sounds like TSP also is the kind of remote viewing that has you dive into somebody's head, basically?
Absolutely, you can do that. And the reason why you can do that is because your front load in TSP is a question. And if you think about that, if you, in the universe, the matrix of all things, if you send the beacon of your intention out to answer a question like, what will I become in the future, or something like that, or who are my spirit guides, you know, whatever. It could be absolutely any question at all, but once you sent your intention out there, your psychic ability to pull in all the data about that question is realized versus describe the target. Well,
and under TSP, what's more important, the target or, you know, the way they get the information?
That's a difficult thing to answer. I mean, your target is your client's questions. And what I always ask for is either any relevant questions and or photographs. Now, I can get anything from zero, and I mean truly, they'll say, well, just tell me whatever you get. That means I'm 100% blind. Or they might send me a question. Maybe they'll send me 50 questions. I've had them do that. They want me to answer that in an hour.
Hold on for a second, Nancy. We're at the break. We'll come back and talk more. One of her works is called Psychic Intuition. We'll talk about that as well. Well, next hour with Nancy Duterte, we are going to take your phone calls as we talk about intuition. Maybe you can share your story. And also, if you hear this doorbell ring in the morning, share that story with us, too. Welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Nancy Duterte. Her websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Nancy, one of your very successful books called Psychic Intuition really, I think, helped uncap this difference between the little voice we hear in our head and what it might be. I think people who can possess intuitive abilities are very successful in just about every walks of life, don't you?
Because it puts you on what I call the superhighway of information. You just get there really fast. Now, doesn't mean you're not, you might make a mistake or two along the way. That happens. Mm-hmm. But you're going to get there faster than if you have to spend time thinking about it sequentially. Yeah, for sure.
Can you train people to be more intuitive than they might be?
Yes. I've been doing that for years. Yes. And this TSP thing, and I do want to go back to that because I feel like I wasn't quite pulling it together enough.
And it's all tied together, isn't it?
It's totally tied together.
Yeah.
And if people learn how to do this, and my students, I mean, I'm getting tremendous feedback from my students. They're loving this. And I have students all over the country, all over the world, actually. But what I wanted to say, the kinds of, instead of having a target that's like a photograph or a location, I said that these targets are questions, and I wanted to give you some examples of the types of questions. So, and you wouldn't be able to particularly do this with regular types of remote viewing. They're asking about past lives, spirit messages, mediumship, psychic detective work, locate inheritance, homicides, missing persons. They want personal guidance, psychology advice about suicide, PTSD, body dysmorphia, night terrors, spiritual development, looking for spirit guides, alien contact or abduction scenarios, information about that, medical intuitive health, energy healing things, paranormal events, poltergeists, ghosts, OBEs, NDEs, voodoo, witchcraft, curses, and then your standard, you know, romance, career, jobs, family, and all that kind of stuff. So they're looking at all these different things. And by the way, the types of clients that I get, they range, and I wanted to give you a few examples of those. Judges, lawyers, extreme fighters, boxers, government scientists, fashion stylists, astrologers, crypto technology entrepreneurs, policemen, real estate brokers, engineering textbook authors, entrepreneurs, I mean, on and on. They're all over the place, from, you know, India to Serbia, Tajikistan, Sweden, Australia, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Spain, Philippines, China, Tanzania. I mean, they're all over the place. And people want this kind of information. And this is the kind of information that when you're doing TSP remote viewing, you can access it. And it's incredible. And the other piece I wanted you to understand about why it's different from regular types of remote viewing is that my scoring system includes things like synchronicities. It includes uncanny types of information that you pull up, precision, as well as just your plain vanilla, you know, hits and misses, which is what regular CRV, ARV does. What it scores is not how accurate you were, that it includes that, but that's not what it's scoring. It's scoring the probability or the likelihood of whether your message to your client about their mystery, whatever it is going to be on target.
It seems like it's more difficult if you're not trained properly than traditional remote viewing, is it?
No. I think this is way, way, way easier.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, and that's sort of it sounds complicated when I'm explaining it, but it's really easy. And there's a piece of it. And what I was trying to do is combine all my psychic and mediumship skills and my psychotherapeutic skills and put them all together with my remote viewing skills and see if I could come up with protocols that would allow you to be, you can document everything, you know, just like you can in regular remote viewing.
Let's say, would you assign somebody to try to get into the mindset of Vladimir Putin, for example, try to get an idea of where he's headed with things?
Of course.
That's pretty dramatic.
I mean, and I of course, they have used targets like that in regular controlled remote viewing, okay? So that's not that unusual. But if your client, the difference here is in CRV, normally, the Stargate Project had, like, basically 19 government agencies who were their clients. You know, if you're just Joe Blow out there trying to do readings for people, your clients aren't normally going to be a large government agency. They're going to be regular folks. And regular folks need immediate answers. They don't need to say, oh, it looks sort of orange and it's got squiggles and you know, I feel it's very large and it's, you know, they don't want that. They want you to tell them something real. So when you're dealing with them in TSP, you're getting you're getting a huge amount of feedback, but it's based off of remote viewed material that you've already done.
Well, you do a lot of work with law enforcement, helping family victims find lost people. Some are alive, some are dead. And when you compare the two types of remote viewing, generally, the traditional remote viewing and the TSP, which I'll call the newer type, which is more successful in finding that lost person?
Okay, so let me give you an example.
All right.
This was a case recently. It's a case in Sweden, it's a cold case involving a missing boy. I was asked by the client, who is extremely close to the family, to come up with anything that I could. And my front load was a map of whatever the village was. I didn't know where the village was located inside Sweden. I just saw the map. I came up with really now what you might consider irrelevant bits of information, such as this boy had green shoes. I couldn't imagine why anybody would have green shoes, and he did. Whether he was wearing them on the day he disappeared, I don't know, but he had green shoes. I also came up with the fact, for example, that his mother had a wedding ring with three diamonds on it. That was confirmed. Is that relevant to the disappearance? No, but it shows that as a bloodhound, because that's really all I'm doing, I'm a bloodhound, I'm on the right scent track, okay?
Yeah.
So then I began to put together, I was able to say what this child's hobbies were. I described him. I described the suspect, which matched what they believed. I then described a scenario where I believed his remains are located that would have matched all of the activities that they knew about. And unfortunately, my client has just gone into the hospital with, it sounds like to me, like terminal cancer.
Oh, God.
So, I mean, I don't know that I'll ever get an answer on that. But in using this TSP method, what you're doing is you're establishing very concrete bits of real factual data with your client, and then you're delivering your message.
What do traditional remote viewers say about this concept?
I just know that when I spoke with Joe McMonagle, he had a big problem with this front loading. He did not like that concept at all. You know, he's a big believer it should be 100% blind, and that's it, and you shouldn't get any information. Now, I don't believe that. I believe that if you can teach people how to overcome what they call analytic overlay, which is when your brain starts to kick in and starts to sort of get making interpretations. You know, I co-wrote the memoirs of a New York City homicide detective, and what he used to talk about was when detectives or investigators start to get tunnel vision on a theory of the case.
Yeah.
And they stop seeing anything else. And that's sort of like analytic overlay. It's when you get this idea in your head of what you think probably happened based on, you know, all of your psychic information, and you can't get out of it. But you can teach people how to get out of it. And by the way, if you, and this is sort of maybe too complex, but once you get into the more advanced control remote viewing, they bring the analytic overlay back again, and they say, well, maybe we'll include it.
When did you develop this, TSP, or did somebody else do it?
No, I developed it.
It was your thing. What was it that you were unhappy with or not satisfied with to get you to even go in that direction?
It was basically the two things. I felt like my clients needed a different type of an answer. They needed something really concrete. And so that was the first thing. And the second thing was I really felt like if you're a little bit intuitive, like I seem to be, and a lot of people are, it's too confining. You know, it was developed so that you could basically prove that psychic, you know, clairvoyance was real, and secondly, that you could train it to people who weren't clairvoyant. That's what it was sort of all about back in 1973. And we've come a long way since then. We've really moved on.
I mean, with the traditional remote viewing, you know, don't you have like a sketch pad and you're drawing things that come quickly into your brain?
Yeah, as part of usually like once you get into phase three or something like that. Yeah, sure. And by the way, you absolutely sketch in TSP if you want to. But you're not being told when and where to do it.
Well, let's go back to this intuitiveness again, which I think is very important in the scheme of things. The fact that people are intuitive, how do you train someone to be intuitive? I mean, what direction do you start them in to get them there? Do you have them meditate? What do you do?
What I tell them to do, and this is really key to all of my work, is I tell them over and over again, ask yourself impossible questions. Whenever you're stuck, whenever your brain says, nope, that's it, I'm done, you know, and like a mule, you're just standing there saying, no, I'm not going anywhere. Ask yourself a completely insane or let's call it impossible question that you know you can't answer. It's impossible. You couldn't possibly know the answer. Start pushing yourself and pretend you're a journalist in the psychic brain. You get to know anything about the universe. And once people get over themselves, because I had to get over myself, they start to become incredibly intuitive. I wanted to also tell you about this...
I'm losing you on the phone, Nance. Get back to the phone.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yep, okay. There you go.
So I wanted to tell you about this last TSP class that I just taught. And actually my client, because I at the end of the course, I bring in an operational case so that all of my students get to actually deal with a real client. And my real client in this case was Dale Graff, who is the former director of the Stargate Project. And he brought in it's a cold case. It's a presumed homicide case. And it was really fascinating what people came up with. And I put together, I do this for all of my teaching clients. I put together, because they usually passing it on to law enforcement, I put together spreadsheets of all of the data that all the students come, you know, all their images. And it's amazing the overlaps you get. So most of my students, for example, this was a guy, just so that you know, he's a guy named Ryan Kemp from Schnecksville in Pennsylvania. He went missing in 1982, and he was a part-time student, and his pickup truck was found in a parking lot of the Sliders Hotel and Tavern, and he was just gone. He used to work in a zinc factory, has no family, nobody knows what happened to him. So, but it's amazing. Most of the students, almost all of them, came up with the fact that he's been deceased, that there are perpetrators involved, they are described, that his remains will be found in a mountainous area with deciduous trees, near a cabin or a hunting lodge or mountain-type residence or a barn or a shed. I mean, almost every single student came up with this stuff. I mean, and then you get really strange stuff. Like one of the students said that she felt that his remains may be located under a telephone pole, which is really close to a county road that leads up to this mountain where this, you know, she sees... cabins or whatever. Well, I can tell you that what I got, was, I said, the road that marks the turnoff to the cabin where I felt his remains were is marked by a huge telephone pole. Now, what are
there
the
you
odds?
Go. Yeah, I mean, it defies odds.
You talk about sketches. Well, one student saw a stone bridge with several arches. Another student sketched a stone bridge with several arches. I got the name DuPont, which means the bridge in French. I saw fast-moving cold water in a stream. Another person saw fast-moving cold water in a stream. Another person saw a brook. I mean, it just, you get, now, just because you get a majority of people seeing the same thing, by the way, doesn't mean it's correct. Could be the person in the minority who ends up being correct. But it's phenomenal what you get. I mean, it's truly phenomenal. It's really very, very useful.
And when it works in a big way. Nancy, we're going to come back and take phone calls with you. And, of course, I want to talk about that UFO episode you had. I'm wondering if that kick-started your intuitive abilities. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.